Stalin and his five devised an astonishing lottery of slaughter designed to kill a whole generation. They did not even specify the names, but simply assigned quotas of deaths by the thousands. On the 2nd of July 1937, the Politburo ordered local secretaries to arrest and shoot the most hostile anti-Soviet elements, who were to be sentenced by troikas, three-man tribunals that usually included the local party secretary, procurator, and NKVD chief. The aim was to finish off once and for all enemies and those impossible to educate in socialism, so as to accelerate the erasing of class barriers, and therefore the bringing of paradise for the masses. This final solution was a slaughter that made sense in terms of the faith and idealisms of Bolshevism, a religion based on the systematic destruction of classes. The principle of ordering murder like industrial quotas in the five-year plan was therefore natural. On the 30th of July, Yezhov proposed that the regions were to receive quotas for two categories. Category 1 to be shot, Category 2 to be deported. They suggested that 72,950 should be shot, and 259,450 arrested, though they missed some regions. The regions could submit further lists. The families of these people should be deported too. The Politburo confirmed this order the next day. Soon this meat grinder achieved such a momentum, as the witch hunt approached its peak and local jealousies and ambitions spurred it on, that more and more were fed into the machine. The quotas were soon fulfilled by the regions, who therefore asked for bigger numbers. So between the 28th of August and the 15th of December, the Politburo agreed to the shooting of another 22,500, and then another 48,000. In this, the terror differed most from Hitler's crimes, which systematically destroyed specific targets. Here, death was random, the long-forgotten comment, the flirtation with opposition, envy of another man's job, wife, or house. Vengeance or just plain coincidence brought the death and torture of entire families. This did not matter. Better too far than not far enough, Yezhov told his men as the original quotas more than trebled. Simultaneously, Yezhov attacked national contingents. This was murder by nationality, against Poles and ethnic Germans, among others. He signed an order to liquidate Polish diversionists and espionage groups, which was to consume most of the Polish Communist Party, most Poles within the Bolshevik leadership, anyone with social or consular contacts, and of course their wives and children. Altogether, the latest estimates, combining the quotas and national contingents, are that 1.5 million were arrested in these operations, and about 700,000 shot. Once this massacre had started, Stalin almost disappeared from public view, appearing only to greet children and delegations. The rumour spread that he did not know what Yezhov was doing. Stalin was the mastermind, but he was far from alone. The terror was not just a consequence of Stalin's monstrosity, but it was certainly formed, expanded, and accelerated by his uniquely overpowering character, reflecting his malice and vindictiveness. "The greatest delight," he once said, "is to mark one's enemy, prepare everything, avenge oneself thoroughly, and then go to sleep." It would not have happened without Stalin. Yet it also reflected the village hatreds of the incestuous Bolshevik sect where jealousies had seethed from the years of exile and war. The anti-Bolshevik resurgence in Germany was real enough, and economic disasters were glaring. Molotov's papers revealed there was still famine and cannibalism, even in 1937. The corruption of grandees was notorious. Yagoda seemed to be running palaces and diamond deals out of official funds, others renting out dachas like landlords. The wives of marshals, such as Olga Budioni and her friend Galina Yegorova, Stalin's fancy at Nadia's Last Supper, blossomed at embassies and salons reminiscent of glittering receptions in aristocratic Russia, with dazzling company, stylish clothes. "Why have the prices flown upwards 100% while nothing is in the shops?" Maria Svanitsa asked her diary. "Where is the cotton, flax, and wool when medals were won for beating the plan? And the construction of private dachas? Crazy money spent on magnificent houses and rest homes?" "The responsibility lies with the hundreds of thousands of officials who ordered or perpetrated the murders. Stalin and the magnates enthusiastically, recklessly, almost joyfully killed. None were ever tried for these crimes.